Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take, and I reached out to Embark and Dr. Chernelle Miles to ask her about our children and their mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and this last year has been challenging for everyone. But we are learning that it has been especially hard on young people, teens, and children. The closure of schools and the pandemic's uncertainty caused many to feel anxious, fear, and worry. Some signs included unhealthy sleeping habits, eating habits, lack of social structure, and research has shown an increase in the suicidal risk. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, between April and October 2020, hospital emergency departments saw a rise in the share of total visits that were from kids for mental health needs. Dr. Chernelle Miles, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for addressing the issue of mental health, particularly with our children.
Now, can you tell our listeners about Embark? How did this company come to be, and why did they think a focus on young people needed to be in its own little niche? This is just for mental health for teens and young people.
Absolutely. So Embark is a national behavioral health company that's been around for about 25 years. However, we have a clinic right here in our own backyards in Alpharetta, Georgia, where we specialize in teens ages 13 to 17. And so we had the opportunity to work with adults, to work with families. However, we wanted to ensure that we focused on teens. One of the reasons why is because we recognize that our teens are really, they're up against a challenge as it pertains to mental health. More now as opposed to later years, particularly because of the pandemic. And so when we opened our doors in Alpharetta in September of 2020, we were really intentional about addressing issues such as anxiety, depression, and suicide. And so with our local clinic, we are working with teens, we are bringing families in, and we want to be able to help teens realize that their lives matter. And we have what's called a BHAG. So it's our big, hairy, audacious goal. And that is really to reduce the rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide from the all-time highs to all-time lows by 2028.
You mentioned that all-time high. And I don't think that we realize that our children were feeling, you know, so anxious and so worried that it was actually leading to these suicidal thoughts and becoming a suicidal risk. Can you tell us what people should be looking for in their teens to maybe indicate that there is, you know, trouble at that level?
Right, absolutely. So one of the reasons why oftentimes this is missed is because for our teens, you know, like you and I are conversing, they don't necessarily come to you and say, hey, I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling or experiencing depression, or, you know, I want to kill myself. And so oftentimes we see it through their behavior. So changes in sleep, changes in how they may be interacting with loved ones or even their friends. You know, parents should be able to notice if their children are isolating. If it's a child who has a significant drop in grades or just not doing those things that they historically love to do, then you want to, you know, you want to pay attention to that. Even, you know, with things like eating, sleeping, how they're speaking, if there's some irritability. So there are a number of symptoms that you can see or behaviors that you can see on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we just have to slow down, take that extra look and say, hey, I think something may be going on. And a big piece of that really is just knocking out the stigma of mental health. That's what we have to pay more attention to.
Now, are mental health needs for young people and teens, is it the same as adults? Is it different? You know, how do you approach those two different audiences?
Absolutely. And so it does look different. You can have a child, you know, a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old who's experiencing depression, and you can have an adult who's experiencing depression, and it looks totally different. And so in teens, again, you know, you have to be aware of what teenage behavior looks like, you know, what's developmentally appropriate. And so it's important for adults not to look at teens as little people. Like, they are teenagers. They have issues that are specific to teenagers. And so their behaviors are also specific to what we would suggest for that of a teenager. So you may see some of the crying. You may see some of the irritability. You may not have a teen who comes and verbalizes to you what they are feeling. You will more so likely see it through their behavior, how they're acting out. And in that way, that's, you know, the difference between a teenager and an adult.
So where an adult might actually say, I need help, a teen,
Absolutely. Teen,
you'll have to check those behavioral patterns. My guest today on WCLK's The Local Take is Dr. Charnell Miles, and we're talking mental health. While Dr. Miles is a dedicated professional, there are many mental health professionals in the Atlanta area. They are available for these types of services, and we recommend that you do your own due diligence in making choices for your family. Did we fail our children during this pandemic? Was there something that we could have done? We talked about the pandemic at the start, mm-hmm. and we talked about, you know, taking care of your mental health, you know, taking walks, going outside, you know, trying to find some peace. But did we forget about kids and teens? Did we not even take into consideration, you know, what closing down their schools, which is their social outlet, would be like?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't think we were prepared for this pandemic at all. For a lot of schools, the school districts, not only just here in Georgia, but around the U.S., they did not have contingency plans in place. And so not only were adults taken by surprise, our children were taken by surprise. And I believe that it was so easy for systems of care or adults to say, you know what, the children will adjust, you know, let's take care of some of these other issues. And yes, we did have to take care of those other issues, but guess what? We also needed to take care of our children. Even today with our clinic, most of our children are coming in due to issues of depression and anxiety related to isolation, related to parental conflict, and related to what's going on in the community. And as we sit and we speak with our clients who are coming into the clinic now, we are hearing their voices, and they're telling us the pandemic has 100% impacted them. For some of those kids who were dealing with depression pre-COVID, those depressive symptoms have increased or worsened. And so, you know, we've had kids who have went from just having depression to now engaging in self-injurious behaviors or cutting themselves or wishing that they were no longer living. We have parents who have also been impacted who, you know, may spend more time at work if they're in a particular healthcare field. But again, they still have their children at home. And so our children are definitely moving up uphill. It's a challenge for them, and we have to pay more attention. We have to pay more attention.
Can we create a safe space so that children feel like they can verbalize their challenges? Are teens just not going to verbalize? How can we create a space that allows teens to let us know what's going on? Is it about the more about the stigma or more about being a teen?
Yeah. So teens are also dealing with the stigma of behavioral health. And truth be told, oftentimes when teens come in for treatment, you know, the issue that they are dealing with has been happening for some time. And so we do have to teach our kids that, you know, addressing your mental health needs is okay. And I tell people, we're holistic beings. If you could go to the doctor for bumping your toe or for a headache or for a pain in your arm, then guess what? Take care of your mind, take care of your emotions as well, and come see a professional. And just to also kind of give a little context to this, and I want your listeners to think about this, 1 in 12 teens will attempt suicide. Even when we look at our high school students, 1 in 6 high school students seriously consider suicide. And suicide is the second leading cause of death for kids ages 10 to young adults at age 24. That's significant. That is significant. And so no kid should have to deal with pain, should have to deal with isolation alone. We can definitely create a safe space. We've created that space here at Embark where there's empathy. There are clinicians who listen first and ask questions next. And sometimes that's the key because for a lot of our teens, they don't feel like adults listen or they don't have those trusting relationships. And so even building a trusting relationship can open a door to such a powerful, powerful relationship, discussion, and healing. And so that is what we've created here at Embark at Atlanta North. That is why we opened our doors during the pandemic, and we welcome families in. And we do that virtually as well as in person. And needless to say, most of the families that we work with choose to come in person. And so the teens want to be here. They own a part of this space. And if we can continue creating these types of spaces throughout Georgia, throughout the U.S., then, you know, I think we can certainly, certainly increase the rate of healing for our teens.
Now, is this behavior that we need to mimic for teens when we're struggling, you know, as adults, if we choose to go to a therapist and your teen sees that, does that make a difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I've been a trauma specialist for about 25 years. And what I do know for certain is that for most of the adults that I've seen in my practice, they too were children, they were teenagers who were dealing with the same issues. So just think about it. If they had adults in their lives who provided these safe spaces, these trusting relationships, the opportunity just for, you know, a young person to come and be honest and open with them, then they would not become adults who are struggling with some of the same issues. And so for a lot of our adults, they're walking in the door with complex trauma. And this means that they've experienced traumas that have happened over and over and over again without even resolving some of those earlier traumas. And so if you have a child who is watching you as an adult respond to traumatic events or just life events in a very unhealthy way, more times than not, that child is also going to pick up on those behaviors and mimic the same coping style that you have. So as adults, we have to take care of ourselves in order to better take care of our children.
So adults, we've got to do better. I'm cringing at thinking that some of my, you know, nieces and nephews might repeat my behavior. But Dr. Yeah. Miles, we've spoken on this show about the challenges for adults to find culturally sensitive therapists. And I can imagine that this is also a challenge for children, or is it as much?
Yeah, and so it could be a challenge for children. Oftentimes children want to be connected with a therapist that looks like him or her. For Embark throughout the U.S., we have, you know, many therapists from many cultural backgrounds. And so in our treatment, we have to be culturally relevant. When you talk about cultural humility and understanding the background of your client and understanding, you know, their fight or the path in which they've or the journey in which they live, that can be a very powerful tool, even in therapy. And so, you know, again, just understanding that child, understanding cultural issues that they have had to deal with, especially during this time of the pandemic, and being able to really just understand that child is going to be powerful.
My guest today on WCLK's The Local Take is Dr. Charnell Miles, and we're talking mental health. While Dr. Miles is a dedicated professional, there are many mental health professionals in the Atlanta area. They are available for these types of services, and we recommend that you do your own due diligence in making choices for your family. And now, Dr. Miles, you've mentioned that you have, you know, been a trauma specialist for 25 years. How did you come to be a mental health professional, and how do we increase the number of African Americans in this field?
So, you know, I have to reflect on the question that you asked just a little while ago, when you asked, you know, as adults, do our children mimic our behavior? And honestly, for me, I always say I was born to do this work. It's my calling. And I've watched my parents do it for years. They were foster parents to over 50 children who primarily were survivors of some type of trauma. And so growing up, I knew that I was a servant leader, and just a vessel for healing. And so I've always, you know, been in this line of work, but for me, it's just a calling to be a provider or a vessel for healing. So that's how I became a mental health professional. But I also had some amazing, amazing mentors along the way. And so in turn, you know, I'm also a therapist supervisor, a certified therapist supervisor. But we have room right now. Embark is hiring, which is a great thing. And we actually have a in-person job fair coming up on June 5th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with on-site interviews. So if any of your listeners are interested and coming on and being interviewed for a therapist position, I'm also looking for an enrollment director as well as a case manager. We are having that job fair on June 5th. It's a good time to, you know, have that degree in mental health, because we just need therapists. We have so many kids, so many families who are in need of support. And we want to be able to open our doors and have families come in without waiting for treatment. And in order to do that, we need more therapists.
And now, how do we get more of our young people to want to choose this career? Is this something that, you know, an organization is going out talking to elementary and middle school students, or colleges or public health schools talking with students about choosing this as a career option?
Absolutely. So I think it's been a little different during the pandemic. Historically, every year I've been invited to different middle schools, even elementary schools, as well as high schools for career day. And so that is one of my favorite times of the year. It typically happens in the springtime. And I'll go to the schools and share with students about my journey becoming a therapist, becoming an executive, and really talking about mental health. And so I know that there are a lot of young people out there who are interested in becoming a therapist. But again, we just have to keep, you know, chipping away at the stigma around mental health and letting people know that, number one, it's okay to receive treatment. But number two, we need really skilled people, loving people, empathetic people who want to become therapists to really come on in and take on this role. It's very, very rewarding.
And now, how can we keep up with you and the work that you're doing?
Sure. So you can always visit us on the web, and our web address is www.embarkbh.com. So that's www.embarkbh.com. You can also call us at 866-485-1983. And you could call me directly, especially if you're a therapist, you have questions, or even if you are a parent or a teenager, you can always pick up the phone and call me at 404-496-3829.
I'm going to repeat that number again, 404-496-3829, and the main number, 866-485-1983, and the website www.embarkbh.com. So, Dr. Miles, in a perfect world, if you could make therapy a part of everyone's life, when would therapy start for folks? Would it be at a traumatic event? Or would it just be a part of life skills, like you go to the doctor for your physical every year? Are you, you know, would you do a mental health checkup every year? In a perfect world, what would mental health services look like?
Yeah. In a perfect world, I absolutely would not wait until a crisis. Typically, when a crisis happens, we can't think straight. We're not, you know, sometimes we're not in that rational brain during a crisis, and it's harder to problem solve. And so in a perfect world, mental health work or behavioral health or wellness really should start at a very young age. We have to teach our children that they are beautiful, they are loving, they are worthy. We have to engage them in such that, you know, we are knocking down the stigma of behavioral health. Even as like an elementary school kid, we see a lot of these issues happening with our elementary school kids. And oftentimes it's because they have a decreased ability to cope. And so if we start teaching some of these lessons very early on, people will be kinder to one another. Our children will understand that they can love and are capable of being loved. You know, they will have a healthy sense of self and self-esteem. We just cannot wait until a crisis happens or wait until they're a teenager or young adult, because they've already experienced so much of the world prior to then. So we have to start early.
And, you know, we are talking about access to health being a challenge in our community, which means access to mental health is even a bigger challenge. So for, you know, listeners who don't have insurance, who are in a community where it's hard to, you know, find a primary care doctor, how do we work with those communities that don't have the same access as others?
Yeah, and you're right. It is all about access. And so for different companies, they require different insurance. They require different financial situations. The one thing about Embark is that we are also a community hub. And so we have a list of community partners. We have worked with community partners. And so if a client or family comes into us who may need mental health support, however, they have other needs going on, like if they are in need of a psychiatrist, if they are in need of medical care, we find that out pretty early on because for all of our clients, we do what's called a biopsychosocial or an initial intake. And so we work to look at the family holistically. What areas are totally impacting that family? And even though they're getting mental health care, how are we also going to work with our community partners in different areas or disciplines to make sure that that family is being taken care of holistically? And so it definitely is a team effort. You know, the treatment team is not just making those decisions, but we are working with the family first and then also bringing in other community providers to wrap our arms, to wrap our services around these families and to support them holistically.
Well, Dr. Miles, I want to thank you so much for sharing this information with us today. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation. And I think having a therapist is a wonderful thing, and I hope that everyone in our community can reach out and take care of their mental health. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Good people, today we've been talking with Dr. Charnell Miles about mental health. While Dr. Miles is a dedicated professional, there are many mental health professionals in the Atlanta area, and they are also available for these types of services. We recommend that you do your own due diligence in making choices for your family. Thank you for joining us this morning on The Local Take. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be back next Saturday. Take care.